just read the verse again. The Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, is always the benefactor of the surrendered souls. His activities are always enacted through his internal potency. Rama, or the goddess of fortune. I pray only to engage in his service in the creation of the material world, and I pray that I not be materially affected by my works, for thus I may be able to give up the false prestige of being the creator. So this is a really, really beautiful, very meaningful verse that Lord Brahma, offered in his prayers. And we can start by even just thinking, who is Lord Brahma, right? Lord Brahma is a great personality, right? Do we agree with that? So he, being in such a great position of responsibility and service, his prayer is to, he's asking Krishna, please, I know what I need to do. It's a great responsibility, but please let me not fall victim of false prestige. Let me not think, oh, look what a wonderful creation I'm creating. So now let's compare that. Lord Brahma is kind of a great personality, right? And then let's think about ourselves. And in a some minuscule way, we are also in a position of where we can create, right? We are, when we do our service, when we cook for Krishna, when we do anything, we are going through a process of mode of passion, when we are producing something, whether, you know, like some sort of service. And how many things do we think, please Krishna, let me do this service, but let me not be proud of it. Let me not become puffed up of that. Let me not fall into the trap. Now, why is it important not to fall into the trap of that type of consciousness? Well, Lord Brahma, if you read all of the prayers, you will understand that. But the main thing is that as a devotee, it's about being Krishna conscious. So what is Krishna consciousness? Do we literally think of Krishna 24/7? Like having Krishna's form in front of us? Maybe some devotees do, but most commonly that Krishna consciousness goes manifests through the service, manifests through our everyday's activity. It manifests through our chanting, through our sadhana, through our association of devotees, even through our arguments sometimes, through just the common activities we do every day. And because we say Krishna consciousness, first association is sometimes to think only about something very noble, very special, philosophical, which is. But sometimes we fall into trap by believing that that's the only thing that Krishna consciousness is. And the other thing, we make differentiation, this is different. But really it's not. Everything we do in life, starting from the moment we wake up, we make choices. I don't know, sometimes we are not even conscious, but brain makes thousands of choices every day, like even hundreds of thousands. I forgot the number, I'm not good with numbers. I did read about it, I heard about it, but forgive me, my memory is not that great. But I remember there is thousands and thousands of choices. So every choice we make, every moment counts towards something. And the beauty is we have free will. So that's the greatest gift. Krishna is free, 100%. We are free in a tiny way. So we have freedom to choose. So sometimes we say, oh, I don't know what Krishna wants. I'll wait to see what Krishna wants. I don't know if it's Krishna's arrangement. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to wait and see. Let's see what Krishna wants from me. And if you think about it, it's like you're literally telling Krishna, do something for me. It translates like that, because we are not doing any, we are choosing to be inactive in our consciousness, in our lives. Soul is Chaitanya, it's a life force, it's active. We as a spirit souls, we are forever active, whether we like it or not. Even within this body, we have that force within us that force us to act, whether good, bad, in a mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness, transcendental platform. We always act. But then the choices we make is what determines how we act. And when we take guidance from Lord Brahma, and when we are given, when we think about responsibilities we have in our Krishna consciousness as a devotees, then it makes sense to be guided by this sentiment of Lord Brahma. So Bhagavatam is full of advices, is full of mistakes. There is lots of devotees who make mistakes. Did you notice that when you read Bhagavatam, so many mistakes? So many great personalities make so many mistakes. Why do you think is that? Would anybody like to just make a point of that? Why, you know, Bhagavatam is perfect. It's Bhagavad Purana. Like, why are we being made aware of so many mistakes? Yes, Prabhu.
One is like the tendency of
Do we have a second mic? Sorry, thank you. It's just for the benefit of online.
Hey, first, because humans have like four propensities to illusion, to be like to lie, not speak the truth. So one of them is to make mistakes, and ultimately we can take shelter in the fact that they have made such mistakes, and it's natural to make mistakes. But learning from it is the important thing.
That's a very good answer. So making mistakes. We are made aware of these mistakes, so we can understand that while we are in this material world, we are bound to make mistakes. It's not if, it's just when. So sometimes we are hard on ourselves when we make mistakes, and we decide, oh, too many mistakes, devotees will not see how wonderful I am, they're going to see how bad I am, and now I'm not going to do this service anymore. Even more, I'm going to move myself away because everybody can see how bad I am at what I do. Does anyone have that experience? You can just, you know, sometimes you feel discouraged and you feel, it's not for me, too many mistakes. I shouldn't be making mistakes. It's something, it's subtle, isn't it? But it eats us away. So this is, Bhagavatam helps us overcome these difficulties. We need to really read carefully and try to understand the sentiment of Srila Prabhupada's words, of the translation, of the actual prayers, of the person. Lord Brahma is a personality. He's sharing with us his thoughts. How amazing is that? Think about it. We're reading thoughts and prayers of Lord Brahma, no one else but Lord Brahma. And he's sharing this with us. We can actually understand his state of mind for that moment, at least. That he who is creating this whole universe, and we cannot even imagine the burden of responsibility he carries, that his mind is focused on, please, my dear Lord, let me carry this responsibility, but please don't let me think that, you know, don't let me get caught up in taking the credit for myself. It's so common, isn't it? But it's also natural. Instead, what happens is when we don't crave that credit, devotees will notice something and they will credit us, which is also nice, because we should acknowledge devotee services. It's not like, I'm not going to say anything nice to this devotee because I'm going to protect them from their ego. Isn't it? Oh, I'm not gonna say thank you. I'm not gonna say anything because I don't want this devotee to get puffed up. But that's wrong. We should, as a devotee, we should see when something nice is done. We should acknowledge it. It's nice because we also have some certain needs. We are not on Atmarama platform yet. Maybe some of you are, but for those of us who are not, we need that social interaction. We need that moment, that some sort of acknowledgement of our existence, that we are alive, that we matter, even to a small matter, you know, like even in the small amount. And in this way, when we think of Lord Brahma offering these prayers, and from his position, how much more we need to be conscious of those things. Isn't it? You know, when I was reading this, what I thought was, how amazing Lord Brahma is so much like a self-aware. Like, he's aware of his possibility to make mistakes and possibility to fall into trap. And I find that very relatable, that moment, that sentiment that we should be self-aware of what we are actually doing, isn't it? Sometimes it feels like autopilot. Does anybody feel sometimes doing their service on autopilot, on a mechanical mode? I do. Chanting for the sake of finishing your rounds, not because we want to connect with Krishna. Anyone? I am. You know, it's the point is that we do. And we shouldn't be discouraged. Instead, we should understand, actually, this is amazing. You know why? Because I have something to work for now. I've got the challenge. Life is full of challenges. Now we can choose to see them as obstacles, or we can choose to see them, wow, this will make me a better person. This will make me a better devotee. This will help me connect with Krishna more, because I just realized when I'm chanting, I'm doing shna, 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 ram, ram. Wow. Somebody mentioned it to me. Or sometimes you can record yourself and you can see, oh, wow, there is a way to improve. Don't stop chanting, but instead, I don't know, take a piece of paper with mantra on and just read it while you're chanting. There is, you know, your brain, our brain is designed to be creative. We are part of our, as spiritual energy, we are always on, even in this material body, that creativity is very dominant. We shouldn't try to stifle it. Let it out. Be creative in your Krishna consciousness. So when you get moments like that, instead of getting like morose and feeling, ooh, yeah, well, you know, I've been chanting for 30 years and yeah, whatever, you know, something will, you know, it will happen, it will be better one day, you know, anyway. Instead think, oh, well, you know what, it's actually amazing, I can make this better. And then by making things better and tweaking our own activities, our consciousness, it reflects on our behavior. This is the next important thing. What we think reflects how we behave, right? So when we think negative thoughts, when we think depression, when we think bad stuff, our behavior is not the best. Nobody wants to hang out with you, I suppose. I know myself, nobody wants to be around me. My family can confirm that. They run away. So when I want to be alone, I know what to do. So the consciousness is important. The sentiment, how we conduct ourselves, is important. The sincerity and honesty of how we conduct ourselves, what we think and what we do in our lives, is very important. The things what we try to present need to follow that sentiment, which should hopefully comes from the heart. So now we are coming to another question, aligning our consciousness, our creativity, with what's happening on the outside. So the service we offer is really of the top quality. It might not be top quality in the common eyes, in the material, but in our eyes it should be top quality, that we've done everything we could to make it that way, which means from our hearts, let's cook for Krishna. Before you, when you start cooking, you can think what I'm going to buy, what bhog I'm going to use. All the steps count. And then when we go for it, we do it with a connection. We think, I'm cooking for Krishna now. How amazing is that? We need to connect with our activities and not do them on autopilot. And being self-aware means we are conscious that something is lacking. We are conscious, hey, I'm not actually connecting now. So we check ourselves. Second thing I would like to just mention to everyone, which I see somebody say, I was meant to say this in the beginning. Try to take notes, not because I'm a brilliant speaker, but because something that comes along might be of the benefit for ourselves, and sometimes referencing to things and taking notes makes us remember stuff better. And then going back to the notes, up to 80% more stays in our memory. So note-taking is very good, because also subconsciously we're filling up those gaps I was talking about. Sometimes we have things that are lacking, and by taking notes we are subconsciously putting things that we feel it's important for us. And then next time we look, we can see, yeah, maybe this I can try today or any other day. And, so going back to the my notes now. So after all this, what I just said, I wanted to go on a more structured way now. That within this, I was looking for some references for this verse, like what can be more verses that can support this verse. So I came with several, and they're all very beautiful and very relevant. One is that this verse illustrates Krishna's kindness and devotees' loving service. So now in Srimad Bhagavatam, I won't go too much with the numbers, but it's a third canto, chapter 9:11. Lord Brahma prays that he may engage in pure devotional service and not be distracted by material desires. And this highlights how Krishna kindly engages his devotees in meaningful service. Right? And then there is a story about Sudama Vipra, when Krishna offered... When Sudama Vipra offered whatever he could, we know there was little bit of rice to Krishna, which was a very humble offering in the eyes of anyone. But Lord Krishna was very grateful for that. And the reason why I want to connect this is because sometimes devotees feel discouraged. So I'm very much conscious that with devotees, I would like to offer some service, and this is my offering that I want to assist and help as much as I can to encourage devotees, not because I think literally everybody needs it, but I think some devotees could do with that to understand that Krishna is not a heavy god, is not like somebody you need to fear from all the time and be so scared. Because I had a conversation with one devotee, and a devotee was saying, I think I'm doing my service out of fear. I'm scared of going to hell. I'm scared that there's so many rules, like so many things, and I'm always conscious. I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing that right. And I felt sometimes when devotees share their experiences of their Krishna conscious practice, it really brings it forward. How important it is to really understand deeply why are we here and who is Krishna and why are we doing all of this? And the rules and regulations are here to enhance our practice, not to force it, right? Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So he says that, you know, there is a famous verse saying, Sadava Hridaya Mahyam. I think that's in the ninth canto. And when Krishna, you know, I'm in the hearts of my devotees, and maybe we are not pure devotees, but we are trying something, right? And Krishna sees us. It's not like when I am, you know, something, then I'll be something else. So I just wanted to, okay, forgive me for my, this is really bad drawing. But anyway, so this is just a little thing I made here. This is me, and this is Radha Krishna and pure bhakti, okay? So this is just like a little, this is a blank paper, okay? So now what we think often, especially when we join, we think our Krishna consciousness will look like this. Isn't it? We think this is it. I'm going, look, woo, like a rocket, especially when we join. Who thought I'm pure devotee when you join? Who thought, oh, it's so easy, my God, yeah, I'm in. I gave up everything already. Where is Krishna now? Come on, I want to see him, right? And then reality kicks in. So this is it. And then reality, sorry. I mean, the reality is, I mean, I don't know. I think this is my reality. I don't know. Is this your reality? Mine for sure, right? Huh? So you know, and you're still not coming there, right? So this is, you know, this is the path to Krishna, right? Our everyday is life since we joined. So now look, the beautiful. I mean, yeah, I mean, it can pass as Picasso maybe, but anyway. but the beauty is, I'll tell you a little secret. So no matter how much of this scribble we have in our lives, every day is a struggle. We get up, chanting is not coming. I mean, who wakes up and goes, I can't wait to chant my 16 rounds. I'm going to chant 32, actually. I've got such a great taste. Who does that? Anyone? Not yet. So the beauty is the hope. What should make us optimistic and enthusiastic is that Krishna is not dependent on this. Krishna, so imagine if this is time and space, Krishna can do this. Look at that. Look. That's us and that's Radha and Krishna and Bhakti. Yeah? How amazing is that? So this is us, and then Krishna, mercy, kripa, if he wants us to, if he blesses us enough, there he will. He's just going to, this is it. We're going to be there. So we might not be even expecting it, but the hope, we should be always hopeful that this might happen. Because Krishna is not dependent, time, space, circumstances, struggle, pain, our tears, our happiness, distress, everything that comes, he's not dependent on any of it. He can just feel, this devotee is really trying hard. But please don't fall into a trap, like the same way there is a trap, you might fall, oh, I'm so good in what I'm doing, there is a dark side of that trap as well. I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, I'm never going to be enough. Which leads sometimes devotees to stop practice. And because it's not humility, we need to understand what humility is. That's not humility. That's not being humble. But it comes, sometimes it comes as a humility, isn't it? It comes as a, I can't do this, and we sort of step away. Maybe I should not do this. Maybe I should calm down with my services, and you know, and somebody else can do that. And what happens is a problem with that, because anything that doesn't lead us to Krishna and doesn't make us feel connected with Krishna is definitely not Krishna consciousness. So if we ever doubtful, is this my mind, is this something, some inspiration, divine inspiration from my heart, is this ask yourself, do I feel inspired and happy to practice my any service at all? Do I feel like excited about it? Do I feel something is amiss? So if you follow your heart in that way, don't take it as a reality, and don't think that spiritual practice is that's all there is. It brings to another importance. Please share your concern with devotees, with your peers, and if it's superiors, with your peers. Don't just have a superficial relationship. It's important to share those concerns. We all have them. I don't want to put anyone on the spotlight, but for yourself, think about it. Do I have something I would love to share, but I'm scared? If there is something, ask yourself that question. Do I have something that I feel it's stopping me from serving better? It's stopping me from progressing? I would love to share that, but I'm too scared. I'm too scared to share. I'm too scared to be judged. I'm too scared to be mocked, maybe even. Who knows? I'm too scared that somebody sees my weaknesses. But you know what's the beauty with sharing? Obviously, you share with a person whom you trust, not on the internet or something. Don't do that. Malini Nithai said, share your concerns, yay! Ooh, look at this devotee, something is badly wrong. No, you share with devotees who are kind and who are mature, who can understand that life is not the red line. Yeah, that life is not the red line, upside down. That's not, those who understand that we will encounter the scribble, we're going to encounter the mess. So you share with those devotees, because when you share your vulnerability, you become free from it. in a subtle way. It's not burdening you anymore. You feel free. You feel free to finally just accept that part of you that you've been pushing away. And when you sort of acknowledge it, even put it on the paper, if you don't want to share it with your journal, write a diary. When you put your thoughts onto the paper, they're out there. They shouldn't burden you as much. It's a little trick. You put your thoughts, sometimes we carry them daily. Put them on the paper if you don't want to talk to anyone. Put them on the paper. Put them down there. And then you can look at them from a more objective point of view. You're not going to be so emotionally attached to them. You're going to see, you know what? I'm who I am with all good, bad, and ugly. We need to learn to accept that part of us. And I'm speaking this from... This is one of my deepest personal concerns which I encountered from myself. I suffer from this for many years, and also from many devotees that we talk to, that these things could be such a serious obstacle in our spiritual life. And we shouldn't allow those things to stop us from serving Krishna. Do you understand? It's what's more important, us carrying that burden and just... How are you, Prabhu? I'm all right. I'm good. You know, when nobody's watching, you will kind of like, we are not good. We are not okay. But let's learn that little art of being self-aware, understanding what's truly in our heart. Na shochati na kankshate. No happiness, no distress. Just observe. You don't have to identify with that. You understand? However bad it is, you don't have to identify. You can just feel, right, I'm going to deal with this. Like they said in the beginning, it's a challenge. Let's challenge ourselves to see what I can do better about this. Let me get rid of this so I can go upwards, right? Time is ticking very fast, so I'm just going to go quickly through this. Which I already covered, is called steady determination in service out of love, not fear. So change your fears, understand what is your fear, why do you have fear, what are you afraid of? Krishna knows everything. You know, we have 12 Mahajans, isn't it? Not 12 witnesses. Correct me, Prabhu. Like I said, yeah, 12 witnesses we have, so they all know us already. There's nothing to hide. But don't hide it from ourselves. We can put it out and say, right, let me deal with this. Let me be better. Let me grow. Let me progress. The nature of the soul is to expand, to progress. And when we don't do these things, we start feeling, what am I doing in Krishna consciousness? Nothing happens. I'm bored. Nobody appreciates my service, nobody does this, nobody... So we become one of those people, just like, oh, nobody does this for me. And really what we need to do, what can I do? What can I do to help myself first? It's our responsibility at the end of the day, yeah? So that brings to relationship with Krishna, personal progress and self-development. They're all going hand in hand. I know this sounds a bit modern, but the thing is, when you translate self-realization, it means understanding the self and how do you come to the point where you want to be, how you want to develop your bhakti. And fourth, most important, the tools and the process how you can achieve all of this is by using your talents in service while being happy and thriving in Krishna consciousness. So let's stop thinking, oh, this devotee is so good at that, I can never be that good. Instead, think about what can I do? What's my strong point? What is my talent? What is something I can offer? Did you ever think about it? Like, deeply? Who am I? Like, what's inside of my heart that is natural for me, that I'm happy to do, and I can use in my service to Krishna? Anybody wants to share? Anybody dares to share?
No.
certainly every day is a challenge. The one thing I remember when I went to South Korea with Patanjali Muni was an interesting thing. They had a Thanksgiving festival there. And also you have Thanksgiving festivals in Christianity, in Ramadan, all these things. And it's basically, it's all about serving each other. And that's the one thing that I looked up, this word Thanksgiving, when we were over there. And Prabhupada says, you know, when somebody says, oh, there's no need to thank me, there is. It's a reciprocation and appreciation. And you don't have to say a thing, but somehow, you know, we've seen the good in somebody, so don't stop it. Don't stop their thanks. He's just... You just accept it with gratitude and say thanks. That's a nice way of saying it. And there's a very nice lecture that Prabhupada did on Thanksgiving and the meaning of it. So it's gratitude, being grateful for what you've got and use it. Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu. So I'm just going to conclude with a couple of little homeworks. So you don't go away with nothing, because, you know, we hear, it comes in, comes out. So I would like you to find your spark. Now, what is the spark? Spark is find your service. This is something you can write down. It's acronym, so the letter spark, it means for something. And I just feel sometimes it helps focus. So, and this is, you can do in your own time, and it will help you meditate a little bit more on finding what really makes you happy in Krishna consciousness, what can you give to Krishna, and how can you actually be happy in Krishna consciousness? I mean, does everybody want to be happy in Krishna consciousness? Do you want to walk around and be happy, right? So when you're happy, it radiates. When you're happy, devotees want to be hang around with you. Yeah? Otherwise, it's not nice. We should work on that. So spark. Spark could stand for two things: self-improvement and service. So S in spark. So find your spark. Self-improvement / service. Means work on, find something that you don't like about yourself and fix it. Okay? Anything. You don't have to share it with anyone. That's just something for you. And find what service you like the best. Think about what do you feel like most connected with Krishna. So it comes to the P, which is purpose. Purpose/passion. I couldn't decide which one. I thought both are important. Passion, something that you feel like, wow, I really want to do this. And purpose. You feel you're doing something meaningful, which is important. So you get S piece of our A is alignment and action. Alignment is, again, the same thing. You find what you want and you put this together with what you want to manifest. Align your true nature with what you're doing. Important thing in Krishna consciousness, we talk about guna and karma, but in practice, we sometimes fail to follow that. When we try to do some services and we're pushing, but we are maybe not the best fit for that. We might be fit for something else. So find the alignment and then take action. Do something about it. The R stands for reflection. And relationship. Spend some time in the day, 5-10 minutes, reflect on what you've done today, where you're going with all of that, what you can do tomorrow. Even if it's a mistake, okay, I did this really wasn't bad, but don't worry about it. One author said, Jim Rohn, he said, discipline your disappointment. Very important. Discipline your disappointment. So when you do something that you feel, about, discipline it. Just, okay, it's done. Okay, not end of the world. Let's move on. What did I learn? Carry on. And then K stands for Krishna. that all these things lead to Krishna and our relationship to Him. So you find your spark. This is a deep exercise. This is something that I can say 100% certainty will help anyone improve their own spiritual life just by going through these steps. Because what happens when we do something, our mind memorizes better. When we put it into action, we create a new habit. When we create new habit, that habit gives us more happiness. When we have happiness, then we feel we can do the whole thing again more and more and more. So we're getting into a positive attitude and go. And then for my love of acronyms, I came up with, when you find your spark, you will glow. And the glow is, you will feel grateful, you will be loving, you will feel very loving, you will feel very optimistic, and you will feel worthy. So, finding spark leads to glow. And as such, you have strong foundation to carry on in your spiritual life on a rocket fuel rather than a pedal power. Okay? That would be all for me. Any questions and comments? Can I just take a question, Prabhu, and then we do. You want to go and take the mic from him?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Lovely class. It's more of a comment. A book I'm reading at the minute was mentioning about how Superman used to be, he couldn't be killed. He was invulnerable. And then the readers got bored of him. So the writers made him vulnerable and introduced kryptonite.
Ah.
So similarly with like Krishna, he's vulnerable to love. And so we are not trying to be vulnerable or trying to practice vulnerability. We are vulnerable. And I was just reflecting on what you're saying about, like, because even with myself, it's that pride that gets in the way a lot of the time of like trying to open up and like not to, we don't want to seem weak in front of others. Mm. So yeah, that just was one thing that.
I think with the male body devotees, it's more like pride issue. With the female body devotees, it's more of feeling guilty and inadequate and not confident. Not 100%, but seems to be the pattern, the certain mindset and certain makeup we have, our genetic makeup in this lifetime. But none of this should be an obstacle, because they're not forever, they're temporary. We are here now, gone tomorrow, so to say. So let's make the best out of it, not dwell on faults and problems all the time. Instead, just so be it, bring it on and deal with it and have good friends with you. Have devotees who will not be criticizing you for your mistakes, but who will be encouraging you to overcome them. It's not good enough if say, well, that cooking was rubbish, and just leaves you with that. If anybody is correcting anyone, please, please don't do that. Correct anybody, but tell them nicely and tell them what to do next. What's the better way? Because if you're so clever to correct, then be clever enough to tell what is the better way of doing it. Don't just give explanation. Don't just like, oh, it was rubbish, and yeah, that's, look, I'm such a good leader. I'm telling everybody off. I'm so clever. That's what Lord Brahma was saying. Please, Krishna, save me from that. Yeah? So, yeah, work on it. It's good. Any more? Yes, of course, Prabhu, sorry. I don't know, ladies being quiet, I don't know. It's okay, we're all big family here. Just anybody wants to say any comment? Okay. Somebody behind there.
Hare Thanks, Mataji, for wonderful class. It's very helpful. And as you mentioned, that sometimes our inability to do in the perfect way.
Sorry, what?
Sometimes our inability to do in the perfect way. Lead to some extent depression, or sometimes it might go in obsession way. So how to deal that? I mean.
When you say inability, do you mean, okay, for example, you want to cook, but you can't get it right, for example. Is that what you're talking about? Or inability of, you don't have desire to do it, and you need to be doing something, but you really, your mind, your heart is not in it?
We have desire, but some sort of limitations, like time or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we might not be having so much time to do it in the very perfect way.
Right, because inability can be fixed. Again, I love fixing problems. For me, more problems, better. Bring it on. It keeps me... No, seriously, I used to run away from them, but then I learned through all of this, like analyzing myself, thinking, in a way, that's my strong point. My bad point is I get overwhelmed and like my mind goes 100 miles an hour. You probably noticed that I've been switching from subject to subject. But bringing back is... About inabilities, fixing things means what? Analyze your inability. Is it, if it's a time, then means your time management is weak. Mm-hmm. Everyone has 24 hours in a day. Most successful people, look, some of them are like billionaires. How do they have time to do all everything? Right? So time management, second thing is very often, this is actually a good one, for devotees especially, skill set. Sometimes we are given service and we actually lack skill. But we try our best, but we could do better. So skill set is important. So if you can think, even Google it, like say you're trying to do something, you can Google what type of skill would be good for this service or for this job or for anything. And that it will tell you, normally people who are successfully doing this are developing this type of skills. Like when I said, how can I serve devotees better? What is a good skill to develop? For me came up coaching, like strategic coaching. This and more specific, because I like specific thing, it came strategies. Learn about strategic coaching, which is not means figuring out how to come from A to B, like into details. I like details. I get obsessed with them. So it's, my obsession can be used in service. So it's not everybody's cup of tea, but that's the beauty. We find what we are made of and what we can do the best. And it doesn't have to serve everyone, but it can serve few people who really can benefit from that. So in your inability, you need to put it down on paper. What first of all, what do you want to achieve with that? And then you find how. First is what, why? Why do, like, I don't know, can you give me an example? What exactly is it, you know, or not?
You know, sometimes, like the different cultures, like in India, we have like, you know, the very clean...
Oh, sorry, those who want to go breakfast and stuff, please do go. I don't want to hold anyone. Feel free.
So... You know, like, just for example, like cleaning the things, right? So sometimes it's difficult, like, you know, if we are in UK, right, we can't be so much clean. And if we are approaching to deity or like, you know, in the home, like, you know, in our home, like, you know, we don't maintain that much cleanliness serving deities. So, like, temple standard is different than...
Mm-hmm.
In our home. So that sort of thing sometimes goes in mind, like, okay.
But if you feel bad about it, means you deep down you would like it better. So just do it. Just allocate 30 minutes a week when you're going to do quick clean. It's all about organizing, prioritizing things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not... I'm going to be very frank, if I have your permission to be direct.
Sure.
If you really want something, you go for it. There is no, oh, maybe. There's no maybe. You want a good standard? You want it clean? Just do it. What stop? You know, you just have to get on with it. It's too much, you know, it says paralysis by analysis.
Yeah.
You know, feel, oh, this and that. Just do it. Just go for it. So if you want to have a better cleaning standard, just say, hey, from now on, every Sunday, whole family, Each one room each. 30 minutes. Done. That's it. Simple. And then you do it. It might not be the best. But next week, because you've done 30 minutes, you practice a bit. Next week, you're going to do better. And anything in life, you can do like this. Don't walk around saying, I really want to do this, but. The moment you say but, your desire to do something is not great. There is no but. You want to reach Krishna Prema? Who is stopping us? Nobody. Ah, this is stopping us. Oh, I want to chant 16 rounds, but. But what? If you really want Krishna, love is action. Love is not talk. Empty talk. You know. Sorry, I come from Eastern Europe. We're a bit, you know, we're a bit in your face with the stuff.
Thanks a lot. I think that's.
But you know, just do it. Because if it's bothering you, like how long are you gonna suffer that pain of like, oh, I'm feeling inadequate. Kind of like, allow yourself to be bored of all of that and be a little bit angry and say, you know what, enough of this. Just action, do it, just change. If you don't like something, change it. No one's going to change it for you. Krishna's not going to come and save us. We have to start, and Krishna will reciprocate. He's not our servant. We need to make steps and, you know, two things, effort, mercy, two things together. Without effort, mercy might come if Krishna wants, but best, you know, Damodar Leela, two fingers too short, symbolizes effort, and mercy, and necessity of both together. So make effort, mercy will come.
Thank you.
Yeah?
Thanks a lot.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.